I went on for some time after this pretty comfortably, constantly hoping and praying that I might never distrust or dishonor my God again. Indeed, I believed in my very soul that I never more could distrust that God who had appeared for me so often and so wonderfully. But I soon found that I had a sorer trial yet to pass through than any which I had had in my life. God was pleased to lay me up with a bodily affliction, so that for 14 weeks I was ill of the dropsy, with no human hope of recovery, and nothing but the expectation of death. The darkness of soul in which I passed about 12 or 13 weeks, tongue cannot describe. Day after day and night after night were spent in nothing but gloom, misery, and wretchedness. I began to fear that all my past experience was nothing but deception. Death was staring me in the face. Eternity was opening upon me, and not one promise could I lay hold of as mine. When I cried, the heavens appeared as brass, and I verily believed that all the comforts and joys I had felt were no more than those of the stony ground hearers, and so that I looked upon myself to be given up of God, to make shipwreck of faith and of a good conscience, that it might be made manifest that I was nothing but an apostate. The filth and the wretchedness of my heart boiled up in such an awful rebellion against God that I trembled from head to foot. I verily believed that the devil himself had taken possession of my soul. I was brought to such an awful condition that I durst no more read the Bible or hear it read than put my hands into the fire. I told all my friends that I was a deceived man, and had deceived them likewise, and that I was as sure to be damned as I had been born. Oh, the dreadful blasphemies that darted through my mind against the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, especially against the Holy Ghost. I dare not even now allude to them. I verily believed as firmly as in my own existence that I had sinned against the Holy Ghost and could never be forgiven, either in this world or in the world to come. About 3 days before my deliverance, I was obliged to hold my hand over my mouth, lest the awful curses which were boiling up in my heart against the Holy Spirit should come out. Oh, how I shook and trembled! I sometimes wondered that God did not command the earth to open her jaws and swallow me up. I shall never forget the time of my deliverance. I was alone in the house, and being a little better in body, could just manage with the assistance of a stick to walk about, which I did groaning and sighing. Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress lay upon the table, and in opening it, I was led to cast my eyes upon the description of Christians passing through the valley of the shadow of death, with the awful scenes which he saw there, and the awful curses which were whispered in his ears, until he became so confused that he could not distinguish his own voice, but began to think that it was he himself who cursed the Lord. My soul began to melt, and hope to spring up that it was the very situation I was in. I saw that it was not I who was blaspheming God, but the devil who was tempting me to do so. I then went down upon my knees and poured out my soul to the Lord, entreating that he would appear for my soul once more. And I felt a freedom of access to him, and a going forth of soul that I had not enjoyed for 15 weeks. And can I ever forget the tender mercies of a covenant God, of him who appeared to me even while I was on my knees. He did appear with these blessed words, sounding like a trumpet in my soul, "Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily." Luke 18, verses 7 and 8. Such divine power came with these words, and such light life and liberty, that the devil and his artillery flew away like lightning, and my poor soul was like a bird let loose from the snare of the fowler. The snare was broken, and I escaped. Oh, the transports of joy that I experienced! Oh, the love that I felt to my God and Savior, who had conquered death, and him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. Oh, the precious days and nights I had of sweet communion with the dear Savior, who had so wonderfully delivered my soul out of the lowest pit. I could sing from my very heart and shout out with all my strength, "And thou hast brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And thou hast put a new song into my mouth, even praise unto our God." Psalm 40, verses 2 and 3. The beauty, majesty, glory, and grandeur of my covenant God and Savior appeared in such transporting views to my poor soul, that it was lost in wonder at his astonishing love, mercy, and kindness to one so wretched, so miserable, and so sunk in black despair. I had given up all for lost, but bless his precious name, he had not given me up. Oh, the light, life, and liberty I enjoyed for some weeks after. All was right and straight. Whilst God was enjoyed in my soul, I truly found that when he giveth peace, none can give trouble. At this very time, owing to my bodily affliction, we had nothing to live upon save what God had put it into the hearts of one or another to bring us, with a little additional help from the parish. Yet every day brought its daily bread with it, how I could not tell. Oh, the many times I found that better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. Proverbs 15, verse 17. The Lord raised me up to bodily health, and also brought me to see and feel that it was all needful, and all in loving kindness and tender mercy. I could enter from my very soul into David's feelings, and say it is good for me that I have been afflicted. For before I was afflicted I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. As Psalm 119, 67, 71. Oh, the blessing of a covenant God, in thus emptying and filling, bringing down and raising up, wounding and healing, stripping and clothing, frowning and smiling. I have indeed proved the truth of that precious text, "Now no chastening for the present appeareth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them and that are exercised thereby." Hebrews 12, verse 11. My soul was indeed proved, has indeed proved, that by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. Isaiah 38, verse 16. But what can poor, empty professors of religion know of these precious things? It is the third part that God brings through the fire, and purifies as silver is purified, and tries as gold is tried. And they shall call on his name, and he will hear them. He will say, "It is my people," and they shall say, "The Lord is my God." Zechariah 13, verse 9. Thus saith the Lord, "This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise." Isaiah 43, verse 21.